this would be a major escalation.
It would mean that not only did the attackers storm the building in Benghazi, they were also, if these reports are correct, were able to kill the ambassador.
Again, it's being reported that the U.S. ambassador to Libya and three other U.S. embassy staff were killed in a rocket attack yesterday. The attacks were the result of a movie made in the United States, which ridicules Islam's prophet Muhammad. This is NBC News Radio. Big news expected from Apple today, a new iPhone and maybe a new iPad. NBC's Jay Gray is in San Francisco and says the phone is expected to be faster, slimmer, and sleeker, and is expected to be the best-selling electronic device ever.
5.5 million fives could sell during its debut weekend, and that ultimately sales could alter the U.S. economy.
Just when you think that the Apple hype machine cannot possibly be ramped up any higher, you actually see an analyst report saying that the iPhone could positively impact the entire United States gross domestic product.
Analyst at J.P. Morgan suggests massive sales could actually boost the country's GDP by 0.25 to 0.5 percentage point.
Forecasters say Tropical Storm Nadine has formed over the open tropical Atlantic and could become a hurricane by Thursday. And the U.S. beat Jamaica to pull off a significant World Cup qualifying victory, moving back into a tie for its group. I'm Mara Schiavocampo, NBC News Radio.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh,
no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Apparently, small business owners have mixed feelings about the economy. Just a day after one survey showed growing optimism among small businesses, another is out and it reflects concerns. The National Small Business Association finds 60% of owners are feeling confident about the future, but that's down from 75% in December. The survey also found that 34% of owners expect a recession in the next 12 months, up from 14% in the earlier survey. It's the economy that has more people shunning banks. The FDIC says that after the financial meltdown and recession, more than 8% of the nation's households, nearly 12 million, are managing their finances without a bank, turning to alternatives like payday loans or prepaid debit cards. Another 24 million households have a bank account but still dabble outside the formal banking system. As Wall Street waits for the Fed to open a two-day meeting today and after a German court allowed that country to help pay for a permanent Eurozone bailout fund, S&P futures are higher by 8, NASDAQ up 19. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.625%, APR 2.94%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.625%, APR 2.94%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal Housing Lender. License number.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 12th day of September 2012, and just 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thank you for punching in. We have a mixed bag of stuff for you today, but we'll begin the show, and we'll get to it in just a bit. U.S. ambassador to Libya, it has been confirmed, has been killed overnight in riots that were actually caused by a film that was produced by an Israeli-American in California, promoted by hate pastor Terry Jones. And we'll get to all that in short order. Obviously, there's a lot of other stuff going on, in case you didn't hear. During the day yesterday, the Bush administration, it became clear yesterday, knew much more about the potential attacks on September 11th than they let on. And could it have been stopped? Well, it's too late to do that. But what culpability does the Bush administration have? And we need to point our fingers not at George W. Bush, but at Dick Cheney, who insisted that Iraq was the central focus on terror. Could he have been wrong? Well, we'll answer that question as well. And lots of other things to get to as we work through the program today. When I say we have a mixed bag, we truly do have a mixed bag of stuff today. Macomb County Clerk Carmela Sabol will be joining us. She will defy Secretary of State Ruth Johnson's order to put that citizenship checkoff box at the top of your ballot come November 6th. We'll have Carmela on the show to tell us why she is ignoring the Secretary of State's plea. Unfortunately, Stephen Anderson, who is normally with us every Wednesday, is a bit under the weather, so he will not be joining us today. So we'll have some time to go open lines. Planned Parenthood joins us for their weekly segment. John Freeman will be with us from Know Your Care. How well is the Affordable Care Act working? And are we actually saving money? John, of course, will share the good news with all of us. And then at 9:35, Bruce Manesnikoff will be joining us. You'll especially want to pay attention to this story. If you have student loan debt, he may have some answers and maybe even a little relief for you. As I said, a mixed bag, so we've got a good show planned for you on this Wednesday program. But as we always do, let's get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Desperation is our first word today. Oh, we could maybe make that synonymous with the Romney campaign, but desperation in and of itself is one of those interesting words that, well, I sometimes feel empowered to use. What happens when people get desperate is normally not a good thing. We could even say that there was some desperation in Benghazi, Libya yesterday. We can certainly say there's desperation within the Romney camp and outside the Romney camp as well. Explore as we work our way through the next 4 hours. But desperation normally is not a good thing. Oh, sometimes something positive comes from people being desperate, but not very often. And I would suggest we probably don't make our best decisions when desperation is at the core of what it is that we are saying and or doing. We need to be very careful, and we need to be very mindful. Sometimes you just have to take a deep breath, have to take a step back, have to slow things down, and then make a decision. When you do things out of desperation, chances are you're going too fast, you're not thinking clearly, and you're certainly not advancing a positive agenda moving forward. I think that's fairly clear, don't you? I thought so. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we look to the word desperation, let's try to avoid being desperate at all costs. Let's try to make sure that desperation is not at the foundation of how we are doing what we do on a daily basis. And my advice to any campaign out there, if you're feeling desperate right now, make sure you have good reason. And if there is good reason, well, change your strategy. But don't overreact, because it's only going to cost you at the end of the day. All right. Today's first word is desperation. And speaking of desperation, I would suggest, Anthony, the Tigers were in a little bit of a desperate situation yesterday. Fortunately for them, it worked out for the best, because they walk away with a much-needed victory. I really do have to say, had they have lost last night, I don't know that we were going to be feeling too good about today.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been too happy about that.
No. But they did come away with the win yesterday, and ultimately, it was a very important win. It just obviously they allows them to stay, if you will, caught up a bit with the White Sox, and maybe they can string a couple more wins together. We walk away tied when this series is over. But they have to start playing better and more consistent baseball if they expect to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they just need to produce more runs every night. Not 2-3 runs isn't going to get the job done, no matter how good the starting pitching is.
Oh, and that hasn't really been the focus of this, is the starting pitching has been pretty damned good the last month. I don't, you know, Verlander the other day got knocked around pretty good, which is, of course, kind of surprising. Are you surprised at the year that Justin Verlander is having?
He couldn't be as good as he was last year, so it's not that surprising. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's just that I think that we expected a little more consistency from him, and he has been a little inconsistent this year. Of course, we look at his record, and that's a little unfair, because the first, I think, 5 or 6 games of the season, Anthony, he didn't get, you know, he pitched extremely well, didn't get a, wasn't the pitcher of record. So it really is unfair to look at just his record. He would probably have another 4 wins on the season if the beginning of the season had turned out a little better for him. But again, the bats were quiet back then as well.
Yeah, I mean, we just get, I don't, we got to pick it up.
We got to pick it up. Well, we do got to pick it up. And we do know that going into the end of the season, the Tigers do play a lot of lesser than teams. But as they've proven over the last week and a half or so, they're not doing well against the lesser teams in the league. And that, of course, is what's created the hole that they're trying to dig out of now. And I don't get it. A quick conversation last night at dinner about Jim Leland and, you know, could this be his last year? And you said something interesting. He's not the kind of manager that gets fired. I don't remember. I know he signed a contract extension, but was it a 1-year extension? Is he on the last year of his contract?
I don't remember exactly.
Okay. Well, I don't know what they'll do. And he is, of course, a throwback manager, and he plays the percentages and so on and so forth. And yes, he did win a World Series 10 years ago. Yes, he did take the Tigers to the World Series just a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, they didn't win. Does that give him any job security? Is it time for a change at the top with the talent that he has? Is he not using them properly? Certainly, if you listen to sports talk radio at all, you know that people are very unhappy with Jim Leland and the decisions that he makes. So we will just have to wait and see what happens. And of course, as we get closer to the weekend, we have some college football we'll take a look at. Obviously, the Detroit Lions play again, seriously weakened in their backfield. Who's going to play this weekend will be the question on defense for the Detroit Lions. And although they have an amazing defensive front, It's not just about the front. And so their weakness, of course, is in the, is, at linebacker and safety and anything that's not on the front. So, we'll see what, Jim Schwartz can pull off, this week, because, we're not playing a team that's afraid to throw the football. And if you don't have, if you have a weak secondary, chances are they're going to be able to make it a little bit tougher on you than you would like. No question about it. Well, if you're enjoying the weather, continue to enjoy it. It's been absolutely beautiful, and it will continue to be nice. We're going to have a very summer-like afternoon after a rather chilly morning. I had an interesting little event happen this morning. I was standing outside minding my own business, and a friendly skunk literally walked within a foot of me. I didn't quite know what to do. So certainly not wanting to panic, I just moved, and he scattered off quite quickly. Thankfully, didn't get scared enough to spray. Or I don't know that I would be talking to you right now, because chances are nobody would have let me back in the building. I can't even imagine what that experience is like. Oh, my, oh, my. But I survived that scare, thank God. And I'm telling you, it literally, that skunk literally was within 12 inches of where I was standing. And that'll get your heart pumping in the morning as well. So I didn't really need coffee at that point, did I? Whew. All right, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got some audio for you this half hour. Of course, you're always, in this hour, you're always welcome to join us, 888-552-3595. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about September 11th and the Republicans' disgusting behavior yesterday after agreeing, well, we thought they did, agreeing to stay out of the fray. Well, they just couldn't stop themselves. From what? You'll find out on the other side. And, of course, we'll talk about the situation in Libya when we continue. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after this break.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roads, there are no accidents or slowdowns anywhere. Just following some construction. Two lanes are closed until 7 a.m. on 75 northbound between East Holly Road and Grange Hall Road. And we got a closure, 9 Mile Road, both directions between Pontiac Trail and Griswold, and that starts today. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, and if you have not heard overnight, the Libyan ambassador from the U.S. was killed yesterday during a protest, angered protest, at the capital in Benghazi, Libya. J. Christopher Stevens, it has now been confirmed, the ambassador to Libya, was killed when protesters angered over a film that ridiculed Islam's Prophet Muhammad fired gunshots and burned down the U.S. consulate in the eastern city of Benghazi, killing again the ambassador. Witnesses said in Egypt, protesters scaled the walls of the U.S. embassy in Cairo and tore and replaced the American flag with an Islamic banner. The reason that this all happened is that a Israeli-born U.S. citizen made a video that is being promoted by hate preacher Terry Jones that was found on YouTube. And as we have seen in the past, Terry Jones, of course, responsible for riots in Afghanistan a few years back, because he continues to speak hate against Islam and the Muslim faith, creates problems for us internationally. Of course, Mitt Romney's response to that was to blame all this on President Obama. Now, I want to be really clear on this. I'm going to play some audio and what happened in Libya, but I want to come back after that and talk a little bit about what happened yesterday and why this is becoming problematic at this time when, unfortunately, it's more important to be the candidate than to be a peacemaker. Here's the audio on the U.S. ambassador.
An American staff member of the U.S. consulate in the Libyan city of Benghazi has died following fierce clashes at the compound. Several others were wounded. Armed militants attacked the offices, but were eventually forced to retreat by gunfire from Libyan security forces. It's thought the incident was provoked by a U.S.-produced film that is said to be insulting to the Prophet Muhammad. Although the building was burnt to the ground and items of furniture looted, no one was inside at the time. The protest happened as hundreds in neighboring Egypt continued their own demonstration outside the U.S. Embassy in Cairo. The film that has caused so much anger among Muslims is said to have been produced by some Egyptian Copt expatriates. A trailer of it has appeared on YouTube in Arabic. Earlier, protesters had scaled the walls of the embassy and torn down and burnt the American flag. Some have called on President Mohamed Morsi, Egypt's first civilian president and an Islamist, to intervene.
All right, and that is the most recent report coming out of Benghazi, Libya. As we have more information, of course, we will share it with you. As you know, Morsi has recently elected the first civilian president in that country, and it is a growing and it is a changing environment. And on top of that, the U.S. relations with Libya continue to be defined. Of course, I need to just go back 24 hours. As we know, it was the 11th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. I want you to know that both the Republican and the Democratic candidate for the presidency, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, had agreed not to air political ads yesterday, both positive and or negative. Well, they did that. Unfortunately, on the conservative side of things, the super PACs did not follow that rule and continued to run hate ads against the president all day long. But more importantly than that, congressional Republicans, on a day that we should have set politics aside, on a day that should have just been a day of remembrance, on a day where we should have really shown cooperation, the congressional Republicans decided to criticize the president all day long. And in fact, Mitt Romney gave a foreign relations speech yesterday claiming that President Obama has made us less safe in the last 11 years. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. So the GOP continues to be the party of lies. And they're doing that because they're getting away with it. And they're getting away with it because, unfortunately, the majority of Americans don't go but to one source for their news. So they hear it. They hear it enough. They believe it. And ergo, we have a problem. That problem isn't that it just threatens the presidency of the United States of America. Oh, if that were the only problem, I think I'd be okay with it. That isn't the only problem. The problem is, it's a lie. And so they're spreading lies about what's happening in this country, creating false either hope or whatever else you want to call it. But ladies and gentlemen, the GOP must stop doing this. I don't know what they expect to accomplish by continuing to misrepresent what is happening not only domestically, but internationally. It is causing a problem, and that problem is ignorance. I can't, and I've said this I don't know how many times on this program, I can't begin to tell you how important it is for you to challenge everything you hear, even from me. Even from me. Although I certainly tell you the truth every single day. I want you to know that I'm telling you the truth. I don't want you to believe what I say, hook, line, and sinker. I don't want you to believe what anybody says, hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, you know what? It does cause you to work a little harder to get to the truth. There's no question that that is the reality. And I know we're all busy, but what is more important than our future? And if it takes, I don't know, an extra 30, maybe 40 minutes a day to go and search for information so you can get to the truth, don't you think it's worth it? I certainly do. I realize that because of what I do for a living, I have to be informed. And so, therefore, I have the time. I make the time. It is what I do. Therefore, I go out and do it. Well, I realize for most of you, it's not what you do, but it is something you need to be doing. I am just getting very, very concerned. Very, very concerned. Again, this has nothing to do about the presidential election. It truly does not. It has to do about the fundamental levels of intelligence and truth gathering and news gathering in this country. Fox News and other like organizations have done their very best and have actually been quite successful at taking away your power. Years ago, many, many years ago, I had a guy on my show. His name is Gerald Celente. You can find him by going to any search engine. He wrote a book called Trends 2000. So that's how long ago I had him on my show. And one of the things that he said the internet would do was dumb down America because they would start to rely on quote-unquote news sources that weren't actually based in any kind of news reality. Well, we see that happening now and has happened now for many, many years. Folks, I'm telling you right now, you don't just need to think outside the box. You need to start looking outside the box. And it is your responsibility to know the difference between a truth and a lie. And unfortunately, for Republicans, when they talk, chances are they're lying. A quick break here. We'll get to some more audio on the other side. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in with us on this Wednesday morning. We'll take the break here and be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your roads, and it's looking pretty good. There are no accidents or slowdowns anywhere. Do have some construction. You got two lanes closed until 7 a.m. on 75 northbound between East Holly Road and Grange Hall Road. More construction has you reduced down to two lanes on 94 eastbound between Telegraph and Outer Drive. And we got some planned construction coming up on Thursday at 9 p.m. That's Van Dyke, both directions north of 696 for construction. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a daily double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You can try it for just $1.99 on McDonald's new extra value menu. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The media may be reporting that the Chicago teacher strike is overpay, but talking to teachers in the streets of Chicago, it's difficult to find one that will say wages are their number one reason for striking. Resources, evaluations, and air conditioning all took precedent before wages. Kevin Jackson is a social worker at Orr Academy High School, and he explained that Chicago teachers can only bargain over a handful of issues and can only call a strike over mandatory issues such as wages.
Don't have the right to bargain for the longer school day, the longer school year, classroom size, or anything like that. We don't have those bargaining rights. The only thing that we can truly strike over is the teacher's salary. That's the only thing that we have as our weapon. So we're trying to use that as a way to bargain for those rights as far as the curriculum, the classroom size, and the things that other students need for resources and support so they can truly have a productive school day.
Special Education District Representative Cynthia Rossi Mack said Orr Academy has a special education population of more than 200 students, and the school doesn't have the resources to provide necessary support.
Many of our students are in situations where we are in a constant struggle to get paraprofessional support. With a caseload size in excess of 200, I have one social worker. He's sitting next to me. And I think that that is grossly deficient to what our students need.
Chicago has also seen an uptick in homicides this year of 30% over 2011. Although the numbers have improved since the first 3 months of 2012, when the city saw an increase of 60% since that same time in the previous year. Just as what happens at home can impact the performance of a child in school, so can what happens in the neighborhood. Social workers play a key role in helping kids who have been impacted by a shooting readjust to a school curriculum. Rossi Mack said the impact of Chicago's violence has been felt in her district.
We've had above seven shootings. Not all of them were fatalities, but we've had at least four fatalities in the current zip code. We're in the 60651 and 60624 area of the city of Chicago.
When it comes to wages, Mack said the discussion often doesn't look at the fact that educators have put themselves in debt in order to earn and maintain qualifications to renew their teaching certificates every 4 years.
When we are vilified in the media that all we want is money, it needs to be understood that we can't do an apprenticeship to get our job. We have to be highly qualified, we have to go to college, and we have to borrow against ourselves to be able to remain highly qualified. And every 4 years, we have to go through that process again.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Now, welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Well, as we know, a West Bloomfield police officer was killed in the line of duty the day before yesterday in a horrific act. And unfortunately, a community that is not used to something like this happen comes together in a candlelight vigil last night. Let's listen to this audio from WDIV.
He certainly was, Carmen. We now know that this home was filled with weapons, but when police first arrived here on the scene, they just heard a few shots. They knew that there were some problems, though, and an urgency to get people out. So Officer O'Rourke ran to the home you see right there next to the gunman's home. He also made his way here to this property. He had one goal, to save the lives of others, and he did just that. Moments before Officer O'Rourke was gunned down, he raced to save the lives of others, warning neighbors on either side of Ricky Coley that they were in danger.
I guess instinctively I had a bad feeling. I felt like I should have said, be careful. About 30 minutes later, we heard the gunshots.
Jeannie Zimbalati says Officer O'Rourke helped save her life. He helped guide her into an armored vehicle. The inside of her home now damaged from all the gunfire. Once she was safe and away from danger, she learned an officer had been killed. She was devastated to learn it was the officer who alerted her to danger.
It's been a lot of conflicting emotions because, I mean, Officer O'Rourke, his last encounter with me was, you know, to make sure that we were safe, and just to know that he had lost his life soon after it's kind of painful.
Other neighbors also got warning Sunday night from Officer O'Rourke, and in those frantic moments, they felt a sense of calm as Officer O'Rourke tried to tell them everything would be okay. No one knew what would happen next. Two families now forever changed.
They walked out of the house. Within 5 seconds, I heard 10, 12 shots within 1.5 split seconds. And I said, Lord God, let not no one be hurt. Then ambulance pulled up. I heard someone called officer down.
Back out here live, and then these neighbors quickly learned that Officer O'Rourke was killed. You can see damage left behind from this standoff to the homes on either side of the gunman. This is the track here that was used to bring in that bulldozer, that wrecking ball, to help make a way for the robot to make its way onto the second floor. These neighbors are incredibly grateful to Officer O'Rourke for his service that night. Obviously, they have some damage to their homes, but that is the farthest concern right now for any of the people living in this area.
And how sad indeed. And, of course, the funeral arrangements for Officer O'Rourke have been set, and I imagine you can just go to any news source to find out when that is, if that's something that you would like to get involved with. It's just a very, very sad story, especially in a community that is not, in any community, of course, but certainly West Bloomfield is not used to this kind of violence. Very, very sad, no question about it. Okay, well, amongst the announcements that were made yesterday was one coming from the governor's office that said that he has made a decision to reorganize Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Not long after the governor made his announcement, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan also came out with an announcement supporting the governor's vision for these changes. Let's go to some audio and get an idea of what it is we're talking about.
With 4.4 million subscribers, it is the largest health insurance provider in Michigan. But how Blue Cross Blue Shield does business could soon change. During a press conference that aired on his website, Governor Rick Snyder announced a plan to make BCBS a nonprofit mutual insurance company that would be regulated by the Michigan Insurance Code, just like other health insurance in the state.
This is an excellent opportunity to say we should update. We should move to the 21st century with our rules and regulations to keep up with that.
That means it would pay about $100 million a year in taxes to state and local governments. The change would also require the insurance giant to pay $1.5 billion over 18 years to a new nonprofit. The agency would focus on promoting healthy living. Snyder says the reforms are tied to upcoming federal health care changes, and the effects could lower costs for individuals.
If you're a small business or an individual, in some ways you are paying high rates to somewhat subsidize other people or other products. And this would create a better marketplace for people that are in those situations to get insurance, hopefully at a lower cost.
I'm Sita Kloki for 7 Action News.
Now, I got to tell you, before, you know, and I still need to do some study on this, there were some groups that issued statements, consumer groups that issued statements after this, cautiously endorsing the concept of what it is the governor is proposing. Of course, what gets my hackles up right away is when the governor wants to do something with Blue Cross Blue Shield and they're actually behind the idea, well, it scares you a little bit, doesn't it? Also, $1.5 billion over 18 years is not a lot of money in healthcare. So let's just be upfront and honest about that. I am going to withhold any kind of criticism of this proposed change until I've had a chance to get more information. Unfortunately, there isn't more information to be had at this point, but the governor, of course, will continue to promote this agenda. It does need to go before the state legislature in order for these changes to take place. That should mean greater debate on the issue, and I'm sure that there are other consumer groups that will ring in. And again, as we have more information on this, we will bring it to you. Obviously, anything that brings down the cost of our health care is a good thing. It also may signal that this Republican governor is on board with the Affordable Care Act. He understands that it's here and perhaps here to stay. Well, we don't necessarily control that part of it, do we? No, we don't. Well, we do in one regard. If we reelect President Obama, the threat of repealing Obamacare suddenly goes away. Let's be mindful that the United States Supreme Court recently affirmed the legality of the Affordable Care Act. There are some, especially in the state Senate, Republicans, that is, that are trying to go around the Affordable Care Act by proposing state legislation that would ban some of the act from taking place. The question is that legal? Well, I'm sure there are scholars that will ring in on that soon enough. But for now, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan looks like it will be reorganized as a nonprofit. They will start participating in, from a tax perspective, and it may bring down the cost of your health care. All that being said, let's hope it's true. Let's go to a feel-good story before we get on to some other things. A Navy hero in the city of Warren, as he's about ready to get shipped out, well, does something quite heroic. This from WDIV.
Frightening scene at 12 Mile in Shaner and Warren this morning when a speeding car crashed and split into two. But an eyewitness sprung into action and pulled the already injured driver away from the burning wreck. Receive Gergiola reports on the accident and the member of the U.S. Navy who answered this call to duty.
It was a one-car crash that began right here when the driver lost control, hit the curb, and started tumbling. As it tumbled, the car broke apart, scattering debris everywhere. He wound up here, 200 yards from where it began, in a mangled ball of fire. There were no other vehicles involved. The car was going so fast that it actually tore in half as it tumbled. The driver was lucky that David Tuer happened to be northbound on Shaner when he saw the crash and stopped to help.
When I got here, I saw half a car in the middle of the intersection and half of it was over on the side of the road. As we were moving on, the flames started getting higher and higher. But my main concern was the guys.
An eyewitness took this cell phone video. That's David on the left. After he pulled the driver away from the burning car, he used his shirt to tamp out fire on the man's clothing.
I didn't know if he had a spinal injury or anything, so held his neck down, or held his head so he couldn't move his spine too much.
David is in the midst of a 5-year hitch in the Navy and ships out tonight for the Far East. Even on his last day home, he didn't hesitate to help.
I just hope that someone else would do that for me if they saw a fireball down the street. Rush towards the situation, see what's up, see if anything, like, if you need to be, like, help someone out. That's what I was doing, just helping someone out.
In Warren, I'm Steve Garagiola, Local 4.
All right, you know, and you just have to admire him for doing that. You have to ask yourself this question. How many of us would have the courage and have the fortitude to stop and help somebody in a situation like that, especially when there is a raging fire? Now, I can't even fathom how fast you have to be going in order to split your car in half. Think about that for a minute. Of course, we don't know if there was alcohol or drugs involved, just plain stupidity, because driving that fast is stupid. I don't care who you are. There is no reason to drive that fast. Again, I can't fathom how fast you have to be going in order to create that kind of damage to your vehicle. But certainly this Navy hero deserves more than a pat on the back. And interestingly, as we utter these words, he is off to the Far East to continue his Navy service. So what a great way to send him off. And I'm sure that both families are very happy that he did what he did. Again, how many of us would have the fortitude or courage to stop and do what he did, and then to have the presence of mind to stabilize his neck in case there was some kind of more serious injury. Just a great, great story. All right, a quick break here before we wrap things up in this hour. Again, feel free to join us at 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, we are at Tony Truppiano, so go ahead and follow us there. On Facebook, if you want to search for First Shift and like us, we would appreciate that. And in the meantime, much more to get to on the other side. I am Tony Truppiano on this Wednesday First Shift program. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift.
with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, talking about facts, right? You know, and I started the show off by saying that the GOP has certainly become the party of lies. Well, let's talk about a couple facts that are facts. After the Republican National Convention, Mitt Romney literally got no bounce, and he actually did get a bounce of 2 percentage points, which lasted an entire 24 hours, which is a record low and a record length of time for a bounce to sustain itself in the history of modern politics. Keep in mind that they didn't always do polling, so that's why we say modern politics. President Obama continues to see an incredible bounce from the Democratic National Convention. You can put it on anybody. Maybe it was Bill Clinton. Maybe it was one of the other dozens of speakers. Maybe it was the president's acceptance speech. All I know is this. The GOP may be in panic mode. Well, first things first, as Chris Matthews said on Hardball last night when I watched with glee, the GOP is just not terribly happy with their candidate right now. Let's listen to Chris Matthews.
Welcome back to Harbaugh. The avalanche of Romney criticism of Romney from members of his own party has been so huge the last couple of days. It's been tough picking just a few examples to show you here tonight on Hardball. But here are some of the best. First off, conservative radio talk show host Laura Ingraham gives a dressing down to the Romney campaign that practically drew blood. Let's listen.
If you can't beat Barack Obama with this record, then shut down the party. Shut it down. Start new with new people. Because this is a gimme election, or at least it should be.
A gimme election. Well, we'll see. Next up, Rupert Murdoch tweets today that Romney's got to stand up to the party fringe. Quote, this is Rupert talking. To win, Romney must open up big tent to sympathetic families. Stop fearing far right, which has nowhere else to go. Otherwise, no hope. Well, that's Murdoch talking. That's Fox talking, and that's the Wall Street Journal talking. Well, Joe Scarborough again today said something he said yesterday. He expressed dismay at his party's choice of Romney. Let's listen.
Why is it that Republicans, as the party is getting more conservative than ever, have selected a guy that has decided, as the Wall Street Journal editorial page says, I'm not going to tell anybody what I'm going to do if I'm president.
Well, that Wall Street Journal editorial page piece Joe refers to there reads in part, Mr. Romney's pre-existing political calculation seems to be that he can win the election without having to explain the economic moment or even his own policies. Such vagueness carries its own political risks.
And it does carry its own political risks, which is why we see Obama continuing to put distance between him and Willard. Will he be able to sustain it? Well, that's up to the president. You need to be mindful of one thing. Citizens United allowed literally hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars to go into the political process. And as a result of that, much of that money will be saved for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the campaign, where I can almost guarantee you there will not be one pro-Romney ad running. But wait, before you think you know where I'm going with this, think again. It's not because he won't have the money to spend. It's because they will do nothing but run hate and lies about President Obama. Folks, if you put them next to each other, Obama wins hands down. But if you can convince those that are still unconvinced, and unfortunately there are too many that will be unconvinced all the way to Election Day, and you begin to batter them, and I mean these PACs will batter voters with negative Obama ads, one after the other after the other, well, I can promise you one thing. It can and may make a difference. While the Romney campaign sends out a memo saying, slow down, don't worry, don't panic. This from Lawrence O'Donnell's last word on MSNBC.
There's only one way to describe professional Republicans' feelings about Mitt Romney's campaign. Only one word. And that word is panic.
The Romney campaign is telling supporters not to worry.
Romney campaign a little defensive.
About a slew of discouraging polls.
Mitt Romney should be up by 5-6 points.
Conservative radio talk show host Laura Ingraham.
Laura Ingraham.
Gives a dressing down to the Romney campaign that practically drew blood.
You know the way to stop the doubters? Start winning.
What good's it do to trash him now?
Romney is behind in this race.
He sort of is what he is, isn't he?
The goal of the Romney campaign was to be the generic candidate.
Campaigns do matter, and candidates do matter.
The debates, this is what we need to focus on now.
October 3rd may be the most important day of the campaign.
The first debate.
And that's the first debate.
The next kind of defining moment.
If you have a human being running against a robot, who wins?
America must lead the free world.
For this foreign policy speech.
The free world must lead the entire world.
And again, he disappointed.
We have a presidential candidate and a vice presidential candidate.
What is your foreign policy experience?
I voted to send men and women to war.
Neither of whom have any sort of national foreign policy experience.
I voted to send men and women to war.
Paul Ryan's credit rating may soon hit junk bond status.
Congress returns today to face a looming fiscal cliff.
A second ratings agency threatened to downgrade America's debt.
Congressional Republicans are getting no love.
The Republican leaders agreed to that deal to extend the
debt. That was a big mistake. I thought it was a mistake.
Listen, the House has done its job.
I think it was a mistake for Republicans to go along with it.
A big mistake.
Where's the leadership?
With the election less than 2 months away, negotiators seem poised to do as little as possible.
I'm not confident at all. I'm not confident at all. I'm not confident at all.
All right, so it makes you wonder, where is the GOP heading? Do they really know who they are, where they are, what they're doing, what they want, who's leading them, who's following them? I mean, all of this matters. Yeah, they are in a mess right now. I don't know that I disagree with Laura Ingraham. I think that Mitt Romney or the Republican candidate, fill in the blank, should be 5 or 6 percentage points up on this president by now, but he's not. And why is he not? Because, frankly, Mitt Romney's still on every side of every issue. And as Chris Matthews said during his Hardball program yesterday, Mitt Romney has a full-time job debating himself, and he seems to do it on a daily basis. You know, the other day he came out Sunday in favor of certain elements of Obamacare. The campaign, unfortunately, a couple hours later, walks back Willard's remarks saying, no, 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 what he really meant was this. Well, why doesn't he say what he means and mean what he says? At least we'd know where he stands. Listen, if you're trying to please all the people all the time, and it's not working, and it's not working, maybe, Willard, you're doing something wrong. Maybe it's time you either put a different team together, or you decide to listen to the team you have. And if this is the advice you're getting from your team, what the hell were you thinking to begin with? You know, money alone won't win this election. Although I just cautioned about money, money alone doesn't do it. The Democrats do one thing better than the Republicans ever will. Feet on the ground. The Democrats will have armies of people already do, in fact, on the streets, stumping for President Obama, reminding the electorate of what we have accomplished in the last 3.5 years and what's at stake if we let this president go. And folks, as you know, there's a lot at stake. Okay, a very quick break here as we head into the end of our first hour. In the next hour, Macomb County Clerk Carmela Sabol will join us, and very much looking forward to that. But we also start with some open line time. We're building in more open line time in the show, so we're trying to encourage you folks to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. I've got something to open the show with in the next hour as well. Stay where you're at. This is First Shift. I am Tony Truppiano, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
Checking your roads, and it's looking pretty good. There are no accidents or slowdowns anywhere. Do have some construction. You got 2 lanes closed until 7 a.m. on 75 northbound between East Holly Road and Grange Hall Road. More construction has you reduced down to 2 lanes on 94 eastbound between Telegraph and Outer Drive. And we got some planned construction coming up on Thursday at 9 p.m. That's Van Dyke, both directions north of 696 for construction. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. A low-budget anti-Muslim film on the Internet has sparked a wave of anti-American violence in Cairo and a fatal clash at the American Embassy in Benghazi, Libya. NBC's Richard Engel.
A Libyan security source has told NBC News that the U.S. ambassador who was visiting the consulate was killed along with three others.
And Libya's deputy prime minister has condemned that reported killing of U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other embassy staffers, calling it a cowardly act. The Chicago teacher strike heading into day three with negotiations set to resume this morning. The school board out with a new comprehensive contract proposal said to address the controversial issue of teacher evaluations. And some faces are turning crimson this morning. 125 Harvard students have been linked to cheating on a take-home final exam, all facing one-year suspensions, including Kyle Casey, the top scorer on Harvard's Ivy League champion basketball team. This is NBC News Radio. Here comes the iPhone 5. At least that's what the experts are predicting in today's major announcement from computer giant Apple. NBC's Jay Gray says the thinner, faster, larger screen iPhone is the talk of the tech world and Wall Street, too.
Experts say today's announcement could be the biggest consumer electronics launch of all time, that 5.5 million fives could sell during its debut weekend.
On Wall Street, stock futures are sharply higher in anticipation. A new study says nearly 700,000 minority voters under age 30 may be unable to cast a ballot in November because of new photo ID laws in certain states. And skip the commercials? Dish Network Satellite Service is running afoul of the TV nets with its AutoHop DVR that automatically zaps commercials from recordings. NBC among those suing for copyright infringement, but Dish says it's only giving consumers what they want. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance or savings or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy, too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you. Think clean.
Just yesterday, a survey by one small business group found growing confidence about the future. Today brings a survey reflecting a drop in optimism. A July survey by the National Small Business Association found 60% of owners are feeling confident about the future, but that's down from 75% in December. The survey found the number of owners expecting their sales to increase fell. 56% expected higher sales in December, but that number was down to 45% in the latest survey. Keep an eye on Ford shares this morning. The company has taken a big step to setting up a line of succession for Chief Executive Alan Mulally, who is expected to retire next year. Company directors are preparing to promote Mark Fields to Chief Operating Officer from President of the Americas. Stock futures are higher as a German court allows that country to participate in funding a permanent Eurozone bailout account, and the market waits to hear if the Fed will do anything more to aid the economy. S&P futures are up by 6, NASDAQ ahead 17. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now, as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Advisor Condoleezza Rice said was asked about the August report, which said what? It said Bin Laden determined to attack within the U.S. Well, that was not the first warning. The first warning goes back to May, the 1st of May of 2001. The question that we now need to ask ourselves is, did President Bush ignore those warnings, and how seriously were they taken? The finger then gets pointed to Dick Cheney, who kept insisting, according to reports, verified reports, that the real terrorist was the real terrorist threat was Iraq, not Al-Qaeda, and that we needed to place our focus on Saddam Hussein and his henchmen. Now listen, I'll be the first one to tell you that getting rid of Saddam Hussein was one of the best things that ever happened to the global world. No question that's true. But our focus should not have been, and was, on Saddam Hussein instead of Al-Qaeda. Even in that August briefing, when that would became fairly clear that there was an organized effort, that there were cells within the United States that were planning an attack on U.S. soil, the question remains, did the Bush administration take those seriously? And if he did not, how culpable is he in what happened? Now, we will never, ever know. You'll remember Richard Clark, who was an advisor to the president back then when he left the White House in 2004, radically criticized President Bush for his actions before September 11th, 2001, and even in the aftermath of September 11th, 2001. President Bush did an interview on the National Geographic channel not that long ago, where he said that he wished he would have had more information, that had he had had more information, the outcome would have been different. Well, now we know that he had more information than perhaps he is, well, not perhaps, he had more information than he is admitting that he did. And could something have been done? Well, the answer to that question is, of course, yes. Why didn't he act? That no one can answer. Roger Cressy, who is a national security expert, was working within the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001, and now is now a contributor to MSNBC and other programs, said he would like to see the May presidential briefing memo made unclassified because he believes that that is where the key to all of this lies. I doubt that the Obama administration will unclassify that document. And in fact, President Obama has been a little too protective of President Bush and Dick Cheney for my liking, but, and I don't think that's just me, I think that's many of you. Of course, you'll recall that when President Obama was elected, those of us on the left, many of us on the left, wanted to see Bush and Cheney at least investigated for crimes against the nation. President Obama made it very clear while he was president-elect that that was never going to happen under his watch, and it won't. So we should just get over it because that's the way it is. But as more information becomes available, and it will, as time goes on and time will pass, as we learn more, and I'm assuming, again, we will continue to learn more, are they not, Cheney and Bush, somewhat still culpable? Should they not be held accountable for what happened? Well, that may be an answer that, a question that never gets answered. I just can't tell you at this point whether or not that is going to happen. But it is clear, and it's, at least it seems clear at this point, that President Bush knew much more about the possible attacks on American soil than he let on. And wow is all I can say. When I saw that piece in the New York Times yesterday and then listened to it talked about throughout the day on the cable news shows, it became clear there were lots of angry people at President George W. Bush. Now, some would say, and I've already seen it on some of the boards online, it does us no good to go back and relive the past. This isn't about going back and reliving the past. It is about taking responsibility. And sometimes, especially for those that are victims of September 11th, now keep in mind, victims are not just those that died. It's not just the families of those who died and the friends of those who died. It's not just the people that were injured in the attacks on September 11th. It's also the people that have been made sick by what happened on September 11th. Some of them continuing to fight for health care. Some of them continuing to fight for care at all. Some of them fighting just to be cared about. And that is absolutely wrong. September 11th, although it happened 11 years ago, is not something that goes away, and nor should it. As we talked yesterday on the show, we don't need a national holiday set aside. We will always remember it, as we do Pearl Harbor and other catastrophic events that have touched the United States and other places in the world, of course. But we cannot allow the people that were affected by what happened on that fateful day to ever be ignored, and they must be cared for in whatever manner this country can care for them. It should never be a matter of dollars. If I ever hear a member of Congress say that we can't fund health care for those that were harmed on September 11th, or we can't help those that are harmed on September 11th, I would suggest, as nonpartisan as an issue as this is, that we have to be careful not to let anybody ever get away with talking like that about this, about the great citizens of this great country who were touched by the events on September 11th, 2001. Anyway, if you get a chance, go to the New York Times. If you get a chance, maybe we can find it and post it to Facebook, the article that points out Bush's culpability, perhaps his culpability, and what he really knew and when he knew it. It's the when he knew it which is the important factor here. Not what he knew, but when he knew it. Well, what he knew, of course, matters, but it's when he knew it. And if it goes back to May, and we know he did nothing, well, he has to do more than just say, oops, sorry. Got it? I thought so. All right. 888-552-3595. As I said a little earlier, a little later on in this hour, we will be visiting with Macomb County Clerk Carmela Sabo. She will defy an order by Secretary of State Ruth Johnson that a citizen's checkoff box be put at the very top of your ballot, requiring you to check off whether you are a citizen or not. By the way, the Secretary of State's office, in what I thought was a rather funny sidebar, said, well, they did actually catch one non-citizen trying to vote on primary day, August 7th. Ooh, one. Well, it was worth it then, wasn't it? Let's take a quick break here. We'll be back on the other side. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on this Wednesday, September 12th. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, and we have a disabled semi that's causing problems. It's blocking your right lane on Telegraph Road northbound at 12 Mile. Now we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Maross. Moving slow on 75 northbound between West Road and Dix-Toledo Highway. And they're watching brake lights on 696 westbound between Mound Road and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5000.
0020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. We are going to go to the phones. Again, I ask you to give us a call. 888-552-3595. We welcome Jerry in Livonia to First Shift. Good morning, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a quick question. I was listening to the show yesterday, but didn't catch it all, so you may have discussed this. I'm not sure. But there was talk after the attacks on 9/11 that some of the final planes in the air that day were actually flying bin Laden family members out of the country.
Oh, that is a fact.
Was it?
That is a fact.
What's that?
That's a fact,
that is a
Jerry.
Fact.
Yeah, that is a fact.
You know, because I never heard about, you know, any conclusiveness on that, but I always wondered about it. That's interesting.
No, that actually came out during the 9/11 Commission hearings, and it was a fact, and the Bush administration was complicit in making sure that certain bin Laden family members were safe and were flown out. Now, we need to remember that the international community was honoring no fly at that point, except for bin Laden's family, which was allowed to fly out of the Middle East into safety.
Well, that's all I had for you, and I appreciate the answer.
No problem.
Great job on the show, and appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, Jerry. I do appreciate that. Yes, I mean, that was beyond controversial, of course, and it's one of those... And one of those facts that is still a head scratcher. There's no question that is absolutely true. I'm astounded. I truly am. I'm astounded by how little we forget, or how quickly we forget some of the really head scratching facts that surround September 11th. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so let me make that very clear. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe him. There are still people in this country that believe that George Bush allowed this to happen. He may have ignored evidence, but I don't think that he deliberately allowed thousands of Americans to die just so Dick Cheney could get his war in Iraq, which is what a lot of the conspiracy theorists think. Now, I do believe that Dick Cheney had way too much influence on the president, at least in the first year or two of the Bush presidency. Dick Cheney was a well-practiced politician at that point, having served in Congress, having served as the Secretary of Defense, having been an advisor to multiple Republican presidents. He certainly knew how to play the game and who the players were. You'll remember that Dick Cheney actually headed George Bush's vice presidential vetting committee. And what did he do? He chose himself. So, geez, how the hell does that happen? We knew, and in case you've forgotten the label neocons, but that was a big phrase during the Bush years. Those were neoconservatives. And the neocons in government were from the first Bush administration, who didn't, of course, truly accomplish what they were supposed to during the first Gulf War, which was to eradicate Saddam Hussein. So the saying, the theory is that Dick Cheney was going to rectify all that by making sure that no matter what happened, they would get Saddam Hussein. Well, they did, but was it for the right reasons? Some would say the means justify the end. I'm not one of those people, and I'm going to suggest many of you aren't one of those people as well. 10 years later, yes, we're out of Iraq, but we're still in Afghanistan. And had we have just gone into Afghanistan, which is where bin Laden was, and started and completed the mission there, we would have been over and done with this, I can assure you, in less than 2 years, if not less than a year. But here we are, 10 years later, still committing troops to the Middle East. It gets uncomfortable for me on so many different levels. Every time an American dies, it affects literally hundreds of people. And think about the math. Think about the math. We've had over 6,000 soldiers die. We've had over 15,000 wounded. Consider the hundreds of people that touch every one of those lives. And chances are one of you that's listening to me right now, if not a whole lot more than one of you listening to me right now, has been affected by what George W. Bush did, or, if you will, did not do. It's scary. It's scary to think about that. And I'll say it again. Unfortunately, the congressional Republicans yesterday had to spend the day not in remembrance, not in thought, not in prayer, but in criticism of Barack Obama and how he has weakened us from a foreign policy perspective, which, of course, could be nothing further from the truth. President Obama has done more for this country from a foreign policy standpoint than I would have ever thought he would do. He has shocked me in that regard. Let's not forget, and of course, this is absolutely ridiculous, but Mitt Romney says that President Obama takes singular credit for killing Osama bin Laden, and he does not, never has, and never will. This is about a collective intelligence community having the facts, getting them to him, and having him make a decision. Now, you don't have to agree with the stories that are told. That's up to you, and it's probably up to your partisan politics. But we know this. There was a 50-50 chance that Osama bin Laden was in the compound where he was finally laid to rest by a bullet. He could have done nothing. He could have not trusted the intelligence. He could have not trusted SEAL Team 6. But he did. And he made the right choice, and it was courageous, and it was the right thing to do, and we all know that now. Should he get credit for it? Absolutely. Did he do it alone? Of course he did not. So let's be mindful that, again, another one of the lies that Republicans will tell, especially candidates, are things like he's taking sole credit for getting Osama bin Laden, when, of course, President Obama did nothing of the sort. Now, that's okay. We're just going to keep, they're going to keep pounding away. We're going to keep pounding away. I wonder if it's going to be who's the loudest or who gets the last word. A lot of polling been done over the last few days before we take the break here. President Obama, of course, is leading in many, if not most, of the polls now. Got quite a bump from the convention for a variety of reasons. It was a great convention. They had a lot of great speakers, talked a lot about the economy. The president owns what he's done, and he understands that there's work to do, and he's been very upfront and honest about that. The American people seem to be warming to the idea that President Obama does have the building blocks in place to strengthen the economy. And we do see some improvement. The unemployment rate down 0.2% to 8.1%. Still unacceptably high, but it is down 0.2%. And I'll take it over up 0.2%. And that's the funny thing. You know, the Republicans are criticizing that number, but it had gone up to 8.5 instead of down to 8.2. And it would have been an entirely different conversation coming from the GOP. Okay, when we continue, Macomb County Clerk Carmela Sabol will be with us to talk about her defiance of Michigan Secretary of State Ruth Johnson in a segment I know you're going to want to hear. Stay with us. The number is always 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break here and be back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Chambers Hair Institute.
Taking a look at your traffic, and we have a disabled semi that's causing problems. It's blocking your right lane on Telegraph Road northbound at 12 Mile. Now we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Maross. Moving slow on 75 northbound between West Road and Dix-Toledo Highway. And they're watching brake lights on 696 westbound between Mound Road and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Are you taking Propecia for hair loss and experiencing long-term side effects like erectile dysfunction or depression? Chambers Hair Institute, the leaders in hair restoration since 1969, has alternative treatments without the side effects. Call today for your free consultation, 248-524-9911.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The media may be reporting that the Chicago teacher strike is overpay, but talking to teachers in the streets of Chicago, it's difficult to find one that will say wages are their number one reason for striking. Resources, evaluations, and air conditioning all took precedent before wages. Kevin Jackson is a social worker at Orr Academy High School, and he explained that Chicago teachers can only bargain over a handful of issues and can only call a strike over mandatory issues such as wages.
Don't have the right to bargain for the longer school day, the longer school year, classroom size, or anything like that. We don't have those bargaining rights. The only thing that we can truly strike over is the teacher's salary. That's the only thing that we have as our weapon. So we're trying to use that as a way to bargain for those rights as far as the curriculum, the classroom size, and the things that other students need for resources and support so they can truly have a productive school day.
Special Education District Representative Cynthia Rossi Mack said Orr Academy has a special education population of more than 200 students, and the school doesn't have the resources to provide necessary support.
Many of our students are in situations where we are in a constant struggle to get paraprofessional support. With a caseload size in excess of 200, I have one social worker. He's sitting next to me. And I think that that is grossly deficient to what our students need.
Chicago has also seen an uptick in homicides this year of 30% over 2011. Although the numbers have improved since the first 3 months of 2012, when the city saw an increase of 60% since that same time in the previous year. Just as what happens at home can impact the performance of a child in school, so can what happens in the neighborhood. Social workers play a key role in helping kids who've been impacted by a shooting readjust to a school curriculum. Rossi Mack said the impact of Chicago's violence has been felt in her district.
We've had above seven shootings. Not all of them were fatalities, but we've had at least four fatalities in the current zip code. We're in the 60651 and 60624 area of the city of Chicago.
When it comes to wages, Mack said the discussion often doesn't look at the fact that educators have put themselves in debt in order to earn and maintain qualifications to renew their teaching certificates every 4 years.
When we are vilified in the media that all we want is money, it needs to be understood that we can't do an apprenticeship to get our job. We have to be highly qualified, we have to go to college, and we have to borrow against ourselves to be able to remain highly qualified. And every 4 years, we have to go through that process again.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. And, well, you know, we all remember back in February, actually, for some of us, but certainly during the August 7th primary, on that very day, we were getting calls during the show from people that were talking about what the heck was going on at their voting places. What we found out, and even our own Joe DeSano had an issue with that checkoff box at the top that asked if you were a citizen. Well, those of us that have been paying attention to the news and listening to this program know that the governor vetoed that very program. Secretary of State Ruth Johnson decided to leave it on anyway. Now, in all fairness, and I want to be fair to this conversation, where I vote in Dearborn Heights, there was not a checkoff for that, and there wasn't in every community, but there was in many. Ruth Johnson, our Secretary of State, announced just the other day that she was going to continue to require the checkoff box to continue, even though the governor vetoed that very legislation. Well, one very brave city clerk has decided that she's going to follow the law and not the will of the Secretary of State, and will not be including it. And that county clerk is Carmela Saboff from Macomb County, who joins us now. And Carmela, I want to welcome you to First Shift, and thank you for taking some time with us this morning.
Oh, good morning. Happy to be here. You know, this issue is really redundant, because when a person comes in to vote, on the application to vote, it already asserts that when they sign it, they sign that they're a registered voter and qualified elector. And then the qualified elector is a citizen, a U.S. citizen. You have to be 18 years of age and live in the community. And I think that certainly we all want every person who is entitled to vote, who is a citizen and is qualified, to vote. No one wants people who are not citizens to vote. And I think in the August primary, this caused some confusion, where a couple of people actually were turned away to vote. And then they called us, and then they went back, and they were allowed to vote. We don't need any more confusion at the ballot box.
Well, it didn't just cause confusion, Carmela, as you know. It actually angered people that were aware that it was unnecessary. And so when they were challenging poll workers who unfortunately are not as well trained as we would like them to be sometimes, didn't know what to do, creating even more, not only confusion, but more anger.
Exactly. And I think, you know, and that's a good point. The ladies who and who are there on election day, they're trained, but they don't know all the laws on that. And then I think they were instructed a confusing letter, one by the secretary, that, you know, they have to fill it out. The next one, if they don't fill it out, then you can let them vote. You have to read them something. So it definitely was confusing. You know, it's going to be a busy day on election day, and we hope that we have a large turnout wherever people vote and whoever they vote for. But we don't need any more confusion when they come to vote. And you know something, I really don't understand the secretary's, you know, in not allowing, and keeping that on when the governor vetoed it. I mean, as far as I know, that the Secretary of State has no authority to override a governor's veto. And I think that, certainly when people come to vote, they're already affirming that they are a citizen. In on the application to vote, it says it right on there, that they're a registered and qualified elector in that community, and they should be allowed to vote.
Well, you know, Carmela, you know better than most people that that Election Day in Macomb County is a big day. People in Macomb County are quite politically active, and
right.
they do come out to vote. There's no question Macomb County is one of has one of the higher voter turnouts of any of the counties in southeast Michigan. And so I can see where this, especially for you and your office on that day, and God knows you've got lots of free time on Election Day, to deal with something like this. So your decision to eliminate that from your ballot, you know, really does make everybody's lives easier, including the voter.
I think so. I really do. I certainly, when I decided to do that, I looked at the fact that the governor had vetoed it. And so I really supported his decision on that. And I, as far as I'm concerned, he made it illegal to put that on there.
Well, you know, the Michigan Department of State was told that you were going to refuse to put that checkbox on the ballot, and they responded, quote, that's unfortunate. We will be communicating with SABAW. So has the Secretary of State's office contacted you about your decision?
You know, not at this point. And, right now what most of the county clerks are doing is proofing their ballots. And then certainly there's a lot of contact with the Secretary of State's office when we do proof the ballot. But there wasn't anything specific to this matter. I have worked with Ruth Johnson on a number of things, and I certainly do appreciate a lot of the things that she does. But I think in this regard, I think, since the governor vetoed it, I think she should have just let it go.
Well, she should have just let it go. As you pointed out just a few minutes ago, I know the Michigan Constitution well enough to know that the Secretary of State does not have the authority to override a governor's veto. If that were true, well, I don't even know what kind of anarchy that would create. But it's a little bit, I don't know, it's beyond bold. I don't know the right adjective to use, Carmela.
I know it, and that's why, we made the decision to keep it off of our ballot, keep it off of our application when people come to vote. Now, interesting enough, it is not on the, when people come to vote absentee, it is not on there. So, you can't have an application to vote different from an AV voter, from a regular voter that's coming in. So we're following the law, and that's what I believe I'm doing. Certainly not saying that people who are not citizens are coming to vote, and certainly we want every citizen who's entitled to vote to vote. And I just thought it would lessen any confusion on Election Day.
All right. My guest once again is Carmela Sabaw. She is the county clerk in Macomb County. Carmela, we do have some calls, so let's go to the phones. I'll remind people our number is 888-552-3595. Let's go to John in Sterling Heights. John, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind?
Morning, Tony and Carmela. Thank you for taking my call. We had a bit of confusion in our family. I'm a Sterling Heights resident, and we've been asked now to start providing picture ID when we show up at the polls, and I wanted to get clarification on whether that is actually something we as Michigan residents now have to do.
No, it is. I think right now Michigan's law is that you have to have a photo ID. If you do not have a photo ID, there is an affidavit that you would sign.
Right, and that affidavit, and John, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And Carmela, my understanding is the affidavit allows you to get a full ballot, not a provisional ballot, but a full ballot as long as you sign the affidavit, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, and that has created some confusion. And I understand why, and, people, again, this became especially, I'm telling you, on primary day, Carmela, we were getting calls during the show from people just outraged by what was happening in their polling places. And I happened to be at a brand new precinct. Because of redistricting, they changed some of the polling places in certain parts of the area, as you know. And there was great confusion in the short amount of time that I was there, and I couldn't believe it. And it took all I had to keep my mouth shut. I just didn't want to start any trouble.
Right, right. No, and I think, you know, a voter, we have to really get out more information to them to let them know just what they need when they do go to the polls to vote. And certainly if they have a photo ID, they need to bring it. If they don't, then they sign that affidavit, and then they can vote.
Absolutely, and so that is clear. Well, it'll be interesting to see, Carmela Sabah, if you do get any communication from the Secretary of State's office. But I can tell you, although I don't live in Macomb County, that I'm grateful that you've made the decision that you made. Thank you for, by the way, just following the law, and that is, in fact, all you're really doing.
Thank you.
Carmela Sabah, the county clerk from Macomb County. I want to thank her for being with us this morning. The ID question continues to come up, and again, I just want to make it very clear to everybody that when you register to vote, so you understand how the process works, you do have to have ID. You do have to prove citizenship when you register to vote. If you show up at the polling place and you either don't want to surrender your ID or you don't have it, you can still vote by signing an affidavit that says that you are who you say you are. Now, what happens to that affidavit? That's a great question. It doesn't get asked. It goes to the county clerk's office where they do verify that you are a registered voter. That makes sure your vote counts. It's that simple. Nothing more complicated than that. So, if you show up at the ballot box and you don't have your ID, you absolutely, positively can and should and will vote. If they tell you you can't, they're wrong. I would suggest that you get on the phone with the county clerk right then on your cell phone, hand it to the poll worker so they can be told yes, give them the affidavit, let them sign it, and give them a ballot so they can do their constitutional duty to vote. Carmela Sabah, thank you for your leadership and your courage. And unfortunately, she just, you know, for her, she's, you know, may find herself in a little bit of hot water with the Secretary of State's office. The problem for the Secretary of State's office, real simply, they're breaking the law. Go figure. More time for calls on the other side. 888-552-3595. Good segment. Let's take a break. We'll do more on the other side. This is First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
Joining us now, Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson, our friend Kevin Holley.
Judges are very concerned that they are, you know, handing down sentences that they think are appropriate for the situations. You know, they've been through the process with the person that's been through the court system. They've been identified in terms of the sentence that they want to impose on these folks, and then things change all of a sudden when they get into the jail system. You know, it's a public safety issue for releasing prisoners, but at the end the day, we're also just not looking ahead. We're not planning. We're not ready for the situations that we're facing in Oakland County. It just shows another lack of leadership.
On 1310 WDTW.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock, and I got to tell you, the congratulations to Carmela Sabaw. Certainly through email and the phones ringing. Voting rights, folks. Something that should be pristine and protected and made easier. Actually, I'm a big fan of something we don't do here in the state of Michigan, which is same-day registration. You should be able to register right at the polls and be able to vote right away. All right, we are going to go to the phones, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Ken in Detroit to First Shift. Ken, thanks for your call this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how's it going? Been a long time.
Good, thanks. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I recently took my driver's license to the Secretary of State, changed my address, and, of course, re-registered to vote. Well, it changed my voter's registration. And I thought everything was cool. Well, I was over at my new place and looked in the mailbox maybe a week later, and there's a little postcard in there saying that you re-registered to vote, confirm your identity, and fill out this card and send it back into the Secretary of State. Now, if I registered at the Secretary of State, what I'm not understanding is why I have to reconfirm who I am and where I'm moving to in order to be registered. Now, I'm thinking if I didn't get that postcard and I went to vote in November, I'm off the voting rolls because something's not matching up.
You're right, and I'm not sure why they did it. I don't find that necessarily fishy. It's just a confirmation that you are the person that showed up, and I don't know that that's a problem. But I will tell you, Ken, that we had a lady that called the morning of the primary and said that she had indeed moved and had done exactly what you had done. And when she went to vote, they did not have her on the voting rolls. And her husband, who also went and changed his registration the same time she did, they did have him, but not her. Do you know that they actually, and this was in Macomb County, they actually told her, well, maybe you should, she had moved from Redford. They actually told her, well, maybe you should go back to Redford and vote there, which would be voter fraud. So it's just ridiculous. But, Ken, I don't think that there's anything phony about it. And I agree with you. Had you have not filled that card out and sent it in like you asked to, chances are you wouldn't have been on the list come voting day, election day.
Yeah, I just think it's another ploy to keep people from voting.
Well, I hope it's not, and I appreciate the call, as always, and thanks for touching base with us. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Mylan in Plymouth now and welcome him to First Shift. Mylan, thanks for joining us this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brother Tony, got a question for you. Now, what legal recourse do we have against Ruth Johnson, the citizen, since she's just going to blatantly break the law? What can we do?
Well, you know, we can certainly, or somebody can certainly file a complaint with her office and perhaps even with the office of the Attorney General. But, you know, Carmela makes an important point. The Secretary of State does not have the power to go around a governor's veto. She can't do that. And so for her to make the proclamation that, the citizen checkoff box definitively will be on the ballot is illegal, in my opinion. Now, why the attorney general, well, I know why he's not saying anything. They're both Tea Party people. But why he's not intervening here is beyond me. And perhaps this is something we can ask Mark Brewer about, see if he can file a complaint with either the Secretary of State's office or the office of the attorney general. But it sounds to me that what Ruth Johnson is doing is illegal, Mylan.
I'm with you, Tony. I'm with you, and I'm on it.
Thanks. All right. I appreciate your call, brother, and it's great to hear from you.
All right.
You bet. 888-552-3595. Voter suppression, which is happening all over the country. We know what's happened in Pennsylvania. They even admitted they were doing it. They were doing it to suppress the minority vote. That's why they were doing it. This whole ID law, which, by the way, good news, and I think this happened while we were in Charlotte, and I don't know if we had a chance to talk about it, but the heinous law in the state of Florida was found unconstitutional, and it has reverted now back to its old law, so the League of Women Voters can once again go out and register voters without becoming felons, which was just absolutely ridiculous. I just said I'm a big fan of same day registration. We don't do early voting here in the state of Michigan, but there are many states that do. Sometimes 1, even 2 weeks before election day, some of the polling places are open that allow people to go in at any time and vote. Of course, you can always vote by absentee ballot. Somebody, and I think I mentioned this, around the primary, was concerned, or somebody was told that absentee ballots are only counted if the election is close in that precinct. And that is not true. Absentee ballots are definitely counted. And it is my understanding the way absentee ballots work is when they come in, let's just say they put them in a bin. They put them all in a bin or multiple bins. And then on election day, they open them and tally those results. All right? That's my understanding of how absentee ballots work. They don't open them as they come in. They don't start counting them as they come in. They wait until election day. Then they open them. Then they do that. There are times where you'll see election results and there will be a little asterisk that says that, especially if it's a very close count, that the absentee ballots have not yet been included in this count. So sometimes they do that towards the end of the election day. Sometimes they do it during. I would guess that every city clerk's office may do it a little differently. But certainly if you vote absentee, your vote absolutely does count. And I don't know how rumors like that get started, probably by those on the right. But certainly I've had to vote absentee many times in my life, and I've never had an issue, and I've never felt that my vote didn't count, and I'll be able to vote in person, and I prefer to vote in person. I think I've told you all before, the geek that I am, I enjoy voting. I enjoy going to the polling place, and I enjoy going into that little cubicle and filling in. Where we do it, we fill in with the number 2 pencil, and then you feed it into a machine, which I don't like. I'll never forget when the Iraqis had their first democratic election. Do you remember how they voted? With ink and their finger. Actually, I think it was their thumb. But they literally put their thumb in a pad of ink, and then they put that thumbprint next to the candidate that was running for office. You know, I'm not so sure that's not a better way to do it. I really am not. And I'm still not sure that hand counting isn't the best way to go. It's not the quickest way to go. But you know what we have found out in our lives? I've said this to my children for years. Sometimes slower is faster. Just saying. All right, we'll take a break for the top of the hour. We've got a dynamic 9 o'clock hour for you, so stay tuned. We'll visit with Stephen Henderson will not be with us this week, but we'll visit with Planned Parenthood and take more of your calls. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got a big problem where an overturned vehicle is blocking the two right lanes at the top of the exit ramps from 75 northbound, 75 southbound, and 375 northbound to Gresham. Traffic is getting by in the left lane only. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Kleszewski. Anti-American violence in Libya fueled by anti-Muslim internet video. Libyan officials say U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans were killed in an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. NBC's Richard Engel.
First they attacked the consulate with RPGs, then automatic rifles, and then set the building on fire. The official says that the U.S. ambassador was holed up in some sort of room and apparently died of smoke inhalation.
A similar scene played out in Egypt, although no casualties reported there. Tragedy in Pakistan, where fires that broke out in a garment factory in Karachi and a shoe factory in Lahore have killed more than 200 people. Federal Reserve policymakers huddle up today amid predictions of another round of fiscal stimulus to boost the economy. And hang on to your wallets. An employer survey finds the average job-based family health plan now tops $15,700 a year. This is NBC News Radio. Chicago teacher strike day three, with negotiations set to resume today. The big sticking points, the hiring, firing, and evaluation of public school teachers. NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
While days of intense bargaining have negotiators disagreeing on how close the two sides are, 400,000 Chicago kids will once again today be out of the classroom.
You can try the fish, but don't rely on the pills. That's the gist of a new study that says fish oil pills and omega-3 fatty acids do not appear to help prevent heart attacks or strokes. Researchers say eating fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, and sardines will cut the risk of heart disease. On Wall Street, stock futures point to a higher open. And years back, it was considered quack medicine, but acupuncture getting thumbs up for helping relieve pain from chronic headaches, backaches, and arthritis. A new analysis of 29 studies shows the ancient Chinese needle remedy worked better than conventional pain treatments. I'm Jim Kleszewski, NBC News Radio.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
Advertisers are getting into the spirit this election season. For the fourth presidential election, 7-Eleven is asking its customers to help predict the outcome. If you're an Obama supporter, you're being asked to buy coffee in blue cups. If you're a Romney supporter, it's red cups. Boston Market allows folks to vote for turkey or chicken. USA Today says FedEx and Maker's Mark Bourbon also using political style ads. One marketing expert warns such ads could backfire in a polarized environment. And while tech fans in the U.S. wait to see Apple's iPhone 5 today, the BlackBerry is actually holding its own in developing nations. Worldwide service subscriptions are now roughly 80 million strong. BlackBerries are the top smartphone in Indonesia, the Philippines, South Africa, and a host of other countries. As Wall Street waits for the Fed, which opens a two-day meeting today, and after a German court allowed that country to help pay for a permanent Eurozone bailout fund, S&P futures are ahead by 5 points, NASDAQ up 12, Dow gaining 36. I'm Steve Podisk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Gentlemen, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Gentlemen, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 12th day of September 2012. Unfortunately, Stephen Henderson is a bit under the weather today, so we will wish him well and visit with him again next week. That gives us an opportunity to go open lines in this half hour, and we want to encourage you to join us. I have said yesterday and a couple times today, and I'll repeat it again this morning. We are building more open line time into the show. I really feel like we don't give you enough of a voice on this program, and so I want to encourage you to call us as you have been doing this morning. I'm very pleased with the amount of calls in the last half hour. If you are just joining us, we had had Macomb County Clerk Carmela Sabah on talking about her defying Secretary of State Ruth Johnson's admonition that the citizen checkoff box be put on the ballot on November 6. Carmela will not in Macomb County comply with that request because the governor vetoed that legislation. That means it's not law. I don't know why Ruth Johnson is doing what she's doing. She doesn't explain herself. She just says that they need to catch people that shouldn't be voting. Well, listen, I'm all for catching people that shouldn't be voting. But you'll recall a few weeks back, we had read a couple different stories that said you are more likely to be attacked by a shark than for somebody to be involved in voter fraud. Or you are more likely to be struck by lightning than there to be an act of voter fraud. Do I need to go on? Do you realize how rare voter fraud is? So why are we creating nationally, all over the country, laws that are meant to suppress voting unless it's meant to keep people away from the polls? We should be making it, of course, easier, not harder. So our hats are off to Carmela Sabaw and what she's doing in Macomb County. And we hope to get, it'll be interesting to see, because Ruth Johnson's office said that they will be contacting her and having this discussion. And Carmela had said definitively that they have not contacted her. Voter suppression is one of my pet peeves. As you all know, at the very top of my website, we give you access to how to register to vote. That's how important that is to me. This is one of my pet projects and has been since the day we went on air. We play that public service announcement multiple times every day to try to get you to register. By the way, the deadline to register to vote for November 6th is October 9th. October 9th. So you must be registered by October 9th if you expect to vote on November 6th. So let me encourage you, again, go to thetonyshow.org. At the very top left, you will see something that says register to vote here. That takes you to a website which will give you the form. It'll even show you where your city clerk's office is located. You need to fill it out and either bring it in or mail it. And, folks, it's that simple. All right? Anyway, we're open lines this half hour, so let's get to it. 888-552-3595. I welcome my brother Tom from UFCW Local 876. Tom, it's a pleasure to talk to you again, brother.
Good morning, Tony. How you guys doing down there?
Doing just great, thank you.
Good. Just a quick remark. Don't we find it odd that they have a problem following the law and trying to suppress the vote, but yet they find no problem with people trying to rig the election?
Well, that is an issue, isn't it, Tom? I mean, we can
just saying.
Well, no, listen, we could talk about what, Speaker Bolger did with Representative Roy Schmidt, with the party-switching thing and trying to put the fake Democrat in to run against him to guarantee him a victory. We know that it's true. We've seen the facts. We also know that the Attorney General, the Republican Attorney General, pretends like there's nothing wrong there. We know the Secretary of State, who Tom is claiming that she wants to stop voter fraud, is in fact an accomplice to it by not agreeing to investigate this further. Yeah, it's pretty damn. It's very hypocritical. Absolutely.
Yeah, kind of convenient for the Republican Party, if you ask me.
Well, when it's all Republicans, everything seems to be convenient for the Republican Party. Tom, thanks for your call. As always, I appreciate hearing.
Have a good day, brother.
You bet. It's great. Yeah, stop and think about this, folks. Not that you don't know it, but we'll revisit it. The legislature, predominantly Republicans. That's both the House and the Senate. The governor is a Republican. The Secretary of State, the Attorney General, the Supreme Court, predominantly Republican. So do the Republicans get away with whatever they want to get away with? They absolutely do. By the way, Senator Gretchen Whitmer, the minority leader in the Senate, proposed some changes to the voting laws here in the state of Michigan to deal with both the Roy Schmidt situation and what happened there, and veterans voting. Her law, or the proposed legislation, would allow people in the military their vote to count as long as it's postmarked by Election Day. As it stands now, it's only counted if they receive it by Election Day. Well, by law, they only have to send the ballots out 30 days in advance. And as David Kinesic said on this show right before we left for Charlotte, the mail delivery to our personnel overseas is not terribly reliable. So they don't always get it in a timely fashion. It's not like if I were to send you a letter today, you'd probably get it tomorrow. With the military, not so fast. They have to figure out where these guys are, and then they have to ship it there, and so on and so forth. So it can take sometimes weeks for military personnel to get their mail. So this law would do two things. It would actually extend the time to send out from 30 to 45 days. So they would have to send the ballot out 45 days in advance. And then if as long as it was postmarked by Election Day, their vote would count. I can't imagine that that's a partisan issue. But we'll see what and now the Democrats are introducing this. So we'll see what kind of pushback, if any, and I'm hoping there is none, the Republicans at the state give to that particular suggestion. But we certainly should let the men and women that are serving this country vote and allow that vote to count, right? That just makes common sense. Well, it makes common sense to me. That doesn't mean it makes common sense to everybody else. One of the issues that, to switch topics for a moment, and feel free to comment on anything that's on your mind this morning, by the way, 888-552-3595. And actually, before I move on to the next topic, I want to thank, I've been telling you all the last couple of days that my speaking schedule is filling up rather quickly. I want to thank those of you that have reached out to me, and I promise that I'm going to get back to every one of you. I haven't done that yet, but I will. And as long as we can fit it into the schedule, I will absolutely make an effort to come speak to your group, your organization, your union meeting, whatever it happens to be. I will make every effort to be there as long as it fits into my schedule. In fact, tomorrow after the show, I am speaking to a group of UAW retirees at Local 182, which is the very first local that I visited when I ran for Congress back in 2006. So I have a special place in my heart for the folks at Local 182. So I'll be speaking to the retirees out there right after the show tomorrow. And I've got a lot of stuff coming up. I'll make sure that we get it on the website. And by the way, we do have the new website coming, and it should be up and running, I'm hoping, no later than Monday. I'm hoping no later than Monday. There's a lot of work yet to be done, but I'm really pleased with the way it's coming along and the way it looks, and I think you're going to be blown away. Right now, I mean, our website's nice, and I'm not going to admit it's nice, but it's really not a destination. The one we're building is a destination and will be well worth your time to go there. In the meantime, we all go back to the phones, 888-552-3595, and welcome Matt in Mansfield. Matt, welcome to First Shift, and what is on your mind this morning, sir?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question for you. I get really tired of hearing the phrase, pay your fair share. So my question is when are the recipients of my fair share going to pay their fair share? That's the main thing that bothers me.
Okay, well, I'm not quite understanding your question, because the recipients of your fair share, when you pay taxes, it just doesn't go to other people, Matt. So I don't, maybe you don't understand how taxes are utilized.
Well, maybe I don't. Well, what about the people that, like, let's say, and I'm not dogging a bunch of people that are on welfare. I know there are a good portion of Americans that, you know, that need it. But then again, there's a good portion of people that don't, that just lay around and wait for their checks to come. Does our tax money go to support those people?
Well, of course it does. But, you know, Matt, I just found this out, and I found it absolutely fascinating. Do you know, on average, how long someone is on welfare? On average, do you know how, on average, how long someone is on welfare? 10 months. Just 10 months. So this fallacy that people stay on, I mean, yes, there are people that have been on welfare for years. Yes, there are people that abuse the system, Matt. I'm not going to deny that. It would be foolish of me to deny that. But, Matt, the average person is on welfare less than a year. It is a hand-up program, not a hand-out program for most people. All right, we got to get to the break. Thanks so much for the call. We've got other callers coming in. We'll get to them on the other side. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift. Chip with Tony Triano.
The blind trust is an age-old ruse, if you will, which is to say you can always tell the blind trust what it can and cannot do. You give a blind trust rule.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, and we got lots of problems. Here's the big one in Detroit. Overturned vehicle is blocking the exit ramps from 75 northbound and southbound and 375 northbound to Gratiot. We got stop-and-go traffic on 75 northbound between Rosa Parks Boulevard and Gratiot. That's due to that accident at the top of the exit ramp to Gratiot. We got stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and U.S. 23. And we got a disabled vehicle blocking the right center lane on 696 westbound after Mound Road. And that's causing slow traffic from Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. It is now 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. We go back to the phones. We remind you the number, toll-free, 888-552-3595. Bill in Detroit joins us now. Bill, thanks for giving us a call this morning. How are you?
Great, great. And I just want to thank you because the show that used to have your slot was a national show, but it's great to have a local show addressing local issues. My question is about the Republican majorities that we have in so many states and so many Republican governors and all of these things. Aren't we still using those machines that can't be verified? And I just wonder, really, looking at the fall election, even if Obama is leading in the polls by 99-0, they can still rig the vote.
Well,
Bill, the
answer to your question is yes. There are still, you know, there are certain voting machines can be hacked. They are not verifiable. As you are probably aware, there has been a movement in this country, not unlike when you use an ATM, that you can get a receipt that shows how you voted. That would be printed out after you put your ballot into the machine. Unfortunately, the powers that be have refused to allow that to happen. It would be a verify your vote. You would be able to see that your vote counted, but they just don't see it that way. So no, we should still be very concerned about the methods of voting in this country and the machines that are used, Bill. Absolutely.
Wasn't this something that George Bush did late one night when he privatized the voting machine thing?
Well, Bill, I want to thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let me just kind of give everybody a little bit of a history lesson. Diebold is the main company that makes voting machines. And what they did, they didn't privatize, but they did require after the 2000 election that they change the voting machines, that the whole hanging Chad thing, so on and so forth. Of course, it was another unfunded mandate by the Republican administration. So that's what Bill is referring to. Again, we're open lines to the bottom of the hour. At that point, we'll be joined by Planned Parenthood in our weekly segment. But until then, we'll go back to the phones and welcome Kenny in Detroit. Kenny, thanks so much for giving us a call. What's on your mind today?
I just had a question, and I don't know if they could do this or not, but in the last Obama election, when Obama won, my cousin, he moved out because his mother moved out to Madison Heights, and so he used to live here, so he was staying with his mother, so he's registered out there to vote. And he said when he went out there to vote, he had to stand in line, and then they told him to hold on a minute, hold on, and they went back to the back and was, I guess, taking a long time. So he got kind of spooked. And so he went home and told his mom, you know, they took so long that he just left. And he said as soon as he left, the police came to his house, his mother's house, and said, where's your son at? We just missed him at the election. Do they supposed to be checking your IDs and running your, warrants and checking for warrants? He had a warrant
for
child support.
Well, no. I mean, I'm finding this to be very, very odd. I can't even imagine a scenario in which this would happen. Now, Kenny, to be honest, they can and they do ask for ID. But if you don't have it, you can still vote. You just have to sign an affidavit that says that you are who you say you are. Now, I don't know. I have no idea why what happened to your cousin happened. Did they think that he might come to vote? And if he showed up, that they were supposed to call the police? But I've never heard anything like that happening at a polling place. And so I find that to be quite odd.
Yeah, that's what he said. He didn't get a chance to vote.
That one confuses me, Kenny. I have no idea how the hell that happened. The only thing
I was curious myself. Do they do that? Do they check people's ID and go back to the back and we got so and so here? How you look?
No, I mean, I can't imagine that they'd have the time to do that with everybody. You know, the only thing I can think of is perhaps whoever was trying to seek child support from him contacted his polling place and say, hey, he's been skipping out and he may show up to vote. And if he does, can you call the police? But I can't even imagine that happening. Very odd. Kenny, thanks for the call. That one confuses me. That one absolutely has me bamboozled. I've never heard of something like that happening before. Keeping people waiting, yep, I can see that happening, because it does happen. I mean, that happens all the time. But for them to check his ID, to know some way that he had a warrant out for his arrest, I just don't know how something like that would go down unless the polling place was alerted in advance. But that would take a lot of coordination, especially on Election Day. And, wow, that one blows my mind. That one blows my mind. And of course, at the end of the day, can't be a deadbeat dad either. You gotta pay your child support. So, certainly, do not want to excuse, that in any way, shape, or form. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. Unfortunately, Stephen Henderson, who is usually with us at this time, was a bit under the weather today and asked if he could, you know, have the morning off. And, of course, we want him to feel well and want him to be on top of his game. And so we wish him well, and I'm sure that he'll be back with us next Wednesday. And in the meantime, in just a few minutes, as we get to the bottom of the hour, we will do our regular check-in with Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, as we enjoy checking in with them each and every week here on First Shift. Missed them last week, of course, while we were at the convention. And we had a great time. I got to tell you, I've been to a lot of different events in radio. I've gone to a lot of different things, lots of different things. This may be the first time I ever went to something that I really had mixed feelings about coming back. I really enjoyed this particular convention. I certainly enjoyed Charlotte. It was very nice. We, for all intents and purposes, didn't really have that big a challenge getting around town. We had great guests. We got along well with everybody. Everybody played well together, and it was just a great trip. And so it doesn't often happen. Usually, and not that I wasn't ready to come home. I mean, I enjoy being home, but I really enjoyed the convention, really enjoyed the trip there, and had a great time, and really it was just a great experience. And I, again, want to thank all of you who wrote us both during and after the convention and posted on Facebook, enjoyed all the pictures that we posted and were so encouraging and was so glad that we were able to go there and to bring that experience live to you because it was a really special, special week for both Anthony and I. I know that he enjoyed it as much, if not more even than I did. And, of course, to be in the Time Warner Cable Arena the night the President of the United States accepted his party's nomination for the presidency once again was pretty darn special. And I'm glad that we were there that night as well. It was a great trip, and I really did have a great time. So we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we don't have Lori Lamoran this week. This week we have Ashley Choker, who is with Planned Parenthood of Mid-South Michigan. She's their community outreach educator. She happens to be from the west side of the state. But what she does, of course, is something that Planned Parenthood does all over the state of Michigan, and that's educate. Oh, that's right. They actually educate. Let's take a quick break here, then we'll come back after that. This is Tony Truppiano. You are listening to First Shift on this Wednesday morning. Stay with us. We continue with Planned Parenthood right after we do this.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Butterball.
Out to your roadways, and we still got lots of problems on your rush hour commute. Accident has your right shoulder blocked on 96 eastbound at Wixom. Your left shoulder is blocked on 94 westbound just before Harper. Another accident has your left shoulder blocked on 696 westbound just after the Bermuda Hilton exit. And the big problem right now, overturned vehicle is blocking the exit ramps from 75 northbound and southbound and 375 northbound to Gratiot. Crews are on the scene performing investigation work right now. And we got stop and go traffic on 75 northbound between Lafayette and Gratiot, and that's due to that accident. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The best thing about subs made with Butterball turkey is that they are healthy. Introducing new Butterball sub starter sandwich kits, like the classic Italian with lean turkey salami, turkey pepperoni, and savory turkey breast. Find delicious sub starters in your grocer's refrigerated meat case.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The media may be reporting that the Chicago teacher strike is overpay, but talking to teachers in the streets of Chicago, it's difficult to find one that will say wages are their number one reason for striking. Resources, evaluations, and air conditioning all took precedent before wages. Kevin Jackson is a social worker at Orr Academy High School.
and he explained that Chicago teachers can only bargain over a handful of issues and can only call a strike over mandatory issues such as wages.
Don't have the right to bargain for the longer school day, the longer school year, classroom size, or anything like that. We don't have those bargaining rights. The only thing that we can truly strike over is the teacher's salary. That's the only thing that we have as our weapon. So we're trying to use that as a way to bargain for those rights as far as the curriculum, the classroom size, and the things that other students need for resources and support so they can truly have a productive school day.
Special Education District Representative Cynthia Rossi Mack said Orr Academy has a special education population of more than 200 students, and the school doesn't have the resources to provide necessary support.
Many of our students are in situations where we are in a constant struggle to get paraprofessional support. With a caseload size in excess of 200, I have one social worker. He's sitting next to me. And I think that that is grossly deficient to what our students need.
Chicago has also seen an uptick in homicides this year of 30% over 2011. Although the numbers have improved since the first 3 months of 2012, when the city saw an increase of 60% since that same time in the previous year. Just as what happens at home can impact the performance of a child in school, so can what happens in the neighborhood. Social workers play a key role in helping kids who've been impacted by a shooting readjust to a school curriculum. Rossi Mack said the impact of Chicago's violence has been felt in her district.
We've had above seven shootings. Not all of them were fatalities, but we've had at least four fatalities in the current zip code. We're in the 60651 and 60624 area of the city of Chicago.
When it comes to wages, Mack said the discussion often doesn't look at the fact that educators have put themselves in debt in order to earn and maintain qualifications to renew their teaching certificates every 4 years.
When we are vilified in the media that all we want is money, it needs to be understood that we can't do an apprenticeship to get our job. We have to be highly qualified, we have to go to college, and we have to borrow against ourselves to be able to remain highly qualified. And every 4 years, we have to go through that process again.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back indeed. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock, and it's Wednesday at 8:35, and that only means one thing, our weekly visit with our good friends at Planned Parenthood. So, gentlemen, if I could have an introduction, please.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women, and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, et cetera, that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity,
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And we do, and it is a gift. And although Lori Lamorand is not with us this week, I promise you she will be back. But there are lots of people that make Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan hum as graceful as they do. And, you know, we have to be mindful. It was interesting because Anthony and I were gone last week, which was for most school children, the first week of school. Well, for Planned Parenthood, that also means it's time for peer education. So now that everybody is back in school and families are back from their summer vacations, Planned Parenthood is busy. And joining us now is Ashley Choker, who is Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan's community outreach educator from Battle Creek. And Ashley, I want to welcome you to the show this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and you know, I got to say, you've got to have one of the coolest jobs in the country.
I do.
Well, you know, let's give people a little bit of background, because the peer education program is actually quite expansive. It's my understanding there are six peer education programs that we're going to talk about today, spanning Ann Arbor. Of course, you're in Battle Creek, Benton Harbor, Detroit, Flint, and Milan. So let's talk a little bit about what the peer education program is all about.
Sure, yes. So peer education is really a method of reaching young people. Research really shows that young people want to talk to other young people about sexual health issues. Surprise, surprise, right? So the idea is that we give these young people comprehensive, medically accurate, age-appropriate sexuality education, and then they're able to give that information to their peers and to their communities and serve as a contact for their communities and schools.
All right, now I understand they get actually 40 hours of training in sexual health issues. That's a lot of time. I mean, that's a commitment.
Yes, it's a huge commitment, and they take on a lot of initiative in doing so. And really, you know, we some of our programs do training even in the summer, and they come out for 40 hours in the summer and take, you know, a pre-test and a post-test, and they study. And so it's amazing that they care that much about their, you know, their peers and their communities that they want to spend time with us.
And did they, in a way, Ashley Choker, kind of become ambassadors to their peers on these issues?
Absolutely, absolutely. And they become advocates for, you know, comprehensive sexuality education. And they become people within their schools that take on more leadership opportunities so that they have more access to people to give them the medically accurate information.
No, I just think it's an amazing opportunity to get to young people. And I know of the things that you teach them, you do talk to them about abstinence. Thank you very much. You also talk to them about the reality of contraception and sexually transmitted diseases like HIV and others.
Yes, correct. I mean, you know, there is a common misconception that people tend to think that if we talk about sexual health issues, that teens will feel like we're encouraging them to go out and be sexually active. But actually, the research shows that if you talk to them openly and honestly, and especially if they have an adult in their life to talk to that has that medically accurate information, they actually delay their onset of sexual behavior or use contraception if they are sexually active.
Well, you know, it's so critical because, you know, you and I could sit here and quote studies about when kids get started. We could do all that. But the bottom line is, as curriculums have changed, there are a lot of schools that don't even do sexual health education in the school anymore anyway. You know, there used to be a health class. There isn't a health class all the time anymore in some of these schools. And so if it weren't for Planned Parenthood going in and let me remind people that you're not forcing your way into these schools. You're doing them in cooperation with the school system.
Absolutely.
So it's important that people understand that. And, of course, these are also development programs. It does give kids, as we just talked about, a chance to take on some leadership responsibility. In fact, you send some of these kids to national conferences to really further not only their education, but to continue to develop that leadership qualities they already have inside themselves.
Exactly. It's all about empowering them to take on these roles. And, you know, we have young people who've never flown on a plane before or never been outside of Michigan that go to national conferences. And, you know, they come back and they're so inspired and so energized. And, you know, then they turn around and go into health-related careers, and it just goes on and on.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. Why peer education, Ashley? Why do we need peer education?
Well, I think a lot of it is that, you know, most of us didn't receive comprehensive sexuality education back in our day, right? So young people want to talk to their parents want to talk to them, their schools want to talk to them, but they don't want to offend parents, you know, so there's all these hoops. And so peer education is able to, you know, meet teens where they're at. And again, you know, the research is that they want to talk to each other. And so if they're going to be talking about it anyway, why not, you know, destigmatize it? Why not give them the medically accurate information so they're not starting rumors about sexual health, you know, correct misinformation? Why not go that route so that we can prepare them for sexuality, because it is a lifelong issue?
Well, it certainly is a lifelong issue. And I would think the more people know about their sexual health and the more honest you are in those conversations, that it does help reduce teen pregnancies, which I know is one of the goals of the peer education program.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, that's important. You know, some might say, and there are going to be those on, let's call it the other side, they're going to say, well, all you're really doing is enticing teens to have sex by doing this. How do you respond to that?
Same as I said earlier, Tony, I always remind them that there is research to support that if they have someone to turn to, then, you know, they may even delay onset of sexual behavior. And we always teach abstinence, as you said, too. You know, we always teach abstinence as the safest and healthiest option for young people. It's the fact that we know and studies show that just under 50% of them, before they graduate high school, will be sexually active. And so if half of our youth are engaging in sexual behavior, you know, we want to prepare them so they can protect themselves against pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that the peer education program is all science-based and, as you said earlier, age-appropriate. And I would guess you are talking to different age groups. What is the age groups that you talk to? From what age to what age?
That's a great question. So peer educators tend to, you know, talk to their peers, as we talked about, but sometimes they do presentations to parents or to community groups that may be different age groups. So, you know, a lot of times it is the community outreach educators like myself that are giving presentations to parents or community leaders, but sometimes it is the peer educators themselves. I would say the most common age group, though, would be other high school students to college students.
The peer education program actually has been nationally recognized. And in fact, I found it fascinating. The Ann Arbor peer education program is celebrating its 30th year, which was astounding to hear. And that's really great.
Yes, exactly. No, we're very proud, and you know, we've been able to have the opportunity for our Battle Creek program to actually be one of five promising programs that were taken to the Obama administration before the establishment of the Office of Adolescent Health. So we were really excited about that, to say that, you know, one of our programs is one of the five that was chosen to be a best practice in the nation. So we're very proud of our program.
Yeah, and in fact, the many, many younger people that are listening to us right now that watch the MTV program 16 and Pregnant, saw that the peer education program was prominently featured in their adoption special back in 2011.
Yes, it was very exciting for us to be a part of that and to be in, you know, asked by MTV. So it was very cool.
If people want more information or perhaps would like to invite Planned Parenthood to do a peer education program in their school or community, how would they go about doing that, Ashley?
Yes, they can just go to our website, and there's actually an option to click on education and go ahead and shoot us an email and let us know where you would like us, whether it's a school setting. There would be obviously some procedures to go through, but we also do churches or houses of worship. We do community groups, parent groups, youth groups, juvenile justice, et cetera. So just go to ppmsm.org and get in touch with us.
ppmsm.org. Again, you're going to see education at the top. Click on that and just follow where it logically takes you. And before you know it, somebody like Ashley Choker will be in front of you, empowering you to useful, again, science-based information and age-appropriate information, which is critical. I understand the fear. I mean, I'm a parent. I have three kids, although they're all older now, and they certainly have, we've all had that talk. It's sometimes, as you said, Ashley, very difficult for the school. It's difficult for the family. This just makes it that much simpler to have necessary conversation. Ashley, thank you so much for your time today. I so appreciate you being with us. We are going to take a very quick break here and continue with First Shift. If you'd like to join us, we'll have a little time before the top of the hour to do that. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We will take the break and be back right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is former Congressman and national co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance, Mark Schauer.
What I see in Michigan is growth in the auto sector relating to producing clean vehicles and the president's fuel efficiency standards, which there was a EPA hearing in Detroit. That change, which has been embraced by a coalition of the auto industry, the UAW, and environmental groups, 13 auto companies support it because they know that's what consumers want, and they also know it will create jobs. In Michigan, it'll create about 24,000 jobs. Good manufacturing jobs.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour as we tick with every minute that much closer to November 6th. And man, does it matter more than ever. No question about it. Feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. Carmela Sabol was certainly a popular guest today. A ton of response on voting rights and responsibilities. Yes, our Secretary of State has decided that she can veto the governor's veto and go around him. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Where is this all heading? Well, let's hope not to court. I do want to comment on something before we go forward, and I want to make it clear. This is, as all of you are, I'm sure, mostly aware, they are in the process of picking a jury for former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick's trial. We will not be covering the trial. This will not be a clearinghouse of information. We will not be having commenters on the show commenting on the trial. We will not be doing a day-by-day tally. And it's not that I don't care. I do. But the work that we have to do as much different work. What they decide to do or not do in that trial, they will do or not do. What we do on this show is a deliberate decision by myself and my staff. We do not provide any service to you or anyone else by commenting on Kwame Kilpatrick's trial. And although we may mention it from time to time, this will not be a place for you to get a daily recollection of what happened the day before, who said what, oh my God, none of that. I don't apologize for that. I don't apologize for that. It's a deliberate decision. And in fact, many of you know that I have commented, mostly via email, that I rarely, if ever, mention the former mayor on this program. For all, listen, for the purpose that we exist, which is to promote a union message, to promote a progressive message, to make sure that the truth reaches an audience that doesn't get it through the mainstream media, and many other reasons why we do this program. One of them is not to give you blow-by-blow commentary of a former mayor who is already disgraced enough. Let the courts take care of that decision. You don't need my opinion on Kwame Kilpatrick. And if you do, send me an email, and I'll be happy to share it with you. But this will be about as much time as I waste on the Kwame Kilpatrick trial moving forward. And so just wanted to let you know that that is a deliberate decision that was made. We are not ignoring something that's out there. Well, actually, we are ignoring something that's out there. Just you'll get it. You can get enough of that information lots of other places. You don't need to get it here as well. We have important work to do moving forward, and I'm not going to waste valuable time on this program talking about something that just won't matter to our lives at the end of the day. Now, a little later on this morning, and it has been confirmed that a deal has been reached on the Belle Isle lease. As best of my understanding, and this has been an important issue to many of you out there because you've called the show and talked about it, the understanding is the compromise they have reached is that Belle Isle will become a state park for 30 years, not 99 years. And that 99 years was a big deal to many of you, as you've expressed on this program many times. So the deal is supposedly going to be for 30 years for Belle Isle to become a state park. If you drive a car, it will cost you $10 to enter Belle Isle. But listen to me loud and clear. It's a $10 one-time pass, like it is for any state park. So if you enter a state park, it does cost $10 to get in. You can get a seasonal pass, and that'll get you in every single time. So don't freak out over that. If you're on a bike, if you are walking, you will not be charged to enter Belle Isle. I repeat, you will not be charged to enter Belle Isle. What this allows to happen, as Belle Isle has begun to slide into a place that makes many people who love it uncomfortable, it will allow the state to begin to spend the millions of dollars that need to be spent there to bring it back to its splendor and glory. And it is a beautiful, beautiful place. Belle Isle is gorgeous, and it needs to be returned to its former beauty. And this will allow that to happen. I think that the 30 years is palatable for most people, and it will allow the, especially those in the city of Detroit who use it most often, to be proud once again of that beautiful, beautiful gem that's literally in downtown. There are no better views of Detroit than there are from Belle Isle. If you've never been down there, you really don't know what you're missing. It is gorgeous. It is absolutely a gorgeous place to be, and again, the state will return it to its glory once again, allowing them to spend money. The city of Detroit just does not have to spend on Belle Isle. As Stephen Henderson told us a couple weeks ago, there are some, you know, the Belle Isle is an island, and it does, there is decay on the shore. They've not been able to keep up with it, and this is something that is critical to that beautiful piece of land that they have upkeep. Who only knows what the potential can once again be, but with the state taking control of Belle Isle, well, things should get better. Now, that's how I understand it at this time. If that's different, I'll, of course, report it to you tomorrow. I mean, I'll do that. That's what I know for now. Guys, either our communication screen isn't working, but I don't have a name. Okay, we've got Mark. So let's go to the phone and welcome Mark to the show. Mark, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, is it possible you don't want to cover the Kilpatrick trial because it'll make Democrats look bad?
Absolutely not, Mark. Haven't heard from you in a while. Where you been? What rock you been hiding underneath, Mark?
I travel in the summer. I've been in Israel and California.
Okay. Well, anyway, no, it has nothing to do with him being a Democrat. It has to do with the fact that I've got much better things to talk about than a former ex-mayor who we already know is crooked, Mark.
Well, how come the mainstream media, they hardly cover you know, the Democratic Party, there was a big snafu about putting God and Jerusalem, taking it out, putting it back into the platform. Those things don't get covered. If they got very well covered.
Mark, wait a second. No, they covered it extremely well. It's not like I don't read. You don't think I was watching that? I was watching it. You're such a Mark. They covered it. It's over. They put it back in. It wasn't a snafu. Sweet Jesus. Mark is just such an unhappy guy. And I'm glad you're back. It's good to know that you're still out there listening. I'm sure we can look forward to hearing more from you. You travel. You know, it's interesting. He said he was in Israel and in California. Well, I'll leave it alone. But if you read the Libya story, well, it makes you wonder if maybe Mark had something to do with that. I'm just suggesting it could be true. All right. We need to move on. It's time for the top of the hour break. In our next hour, we will visit with John Freeman from Know Your Care. And Bruce Mesnikoff will also join us about student loan debt. Is there hope? Is there help? Well, you may just be pleasantly surprised. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. First Shift will continue with its last hour after we do this from NBC News.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Out to your roadways, and we still got lots of problems on your rush hour commute. Accident has your right shoulder blocked on 96 eastbound at Wixom. Your left shoulder is blocked on 94 westbound just before Harper. Another accident has your left shoulder blocked on 696 westbound just after the Bermuda Hilton exit. And the big problem right now, overturned vehicle is blocking the exit ramps from 75 northbound and southbound and 375 northbound to Gratiot. Crews are on the scene performing investigation work right now. And we got stop and go traffic on 75 northbound between Lafayette and Gratiot, and that's due to that accident. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be sunny and 84 degrees. Tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 83, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Church.